When many of us think of the first Australian battle of the First World War, we think of the Anzac landings at Gallipoli in 1915. But Australians actually went into battle 6 months before that against the Germans in New Guinea. And today marks 100 years since Australia invaded German New Guinea and fought the Battle of Bitter Paka. On September the 11th, 1914, the Australian Naval and Military Expeditionary Force landed near the town of Rabaul, then the capital of German New Guinea, and captured a German telegraph station. The Australians won that battle, but for a long time there's been rumours about the mistreatment and the execution of prisoners. Recently, an account from an eyewitness was found. It'd been locked away in a box in Queensland, and this is the first time the recording has been aired publicly. Ian Townsend has the story.
Only suit him. Only all the men? Only calibers only suit him on
musket.
This is a recording from the early 1960s of a man called Old Bob, who was then an elder of the village of Capacal in New Guinea. He's describing what he saw this day 100 years ago when Australian forces went ashore near Rabaul to capture a telegraph station from the Germans. Old Bob was interviewed by a local plantation owner called Ian Purvis. What's remarkable about this recording, apart from the fact that it still exists, is that it describes the shooting of prisoners captured by Australian forces after a battle on the road to the telegraph station at Bitter Paka.
All right, big fella man must have blown pipe. He took fire.
Then a big man of war said, fire.
No, no English. Shooting all the man lying on ship.
And they all died. They shot all the men who were lined up on one side. Only one boy was all right. A young boy such as this, he ran away. So they all died, and the trench they dug was full with dead bodies. The English shot them. After that, they advanced to Bitter Paka.
The telegraph station at Bitter Paka was the objective of the Australian Naval and Military Expeditionary Force, a force that had been quickly put together after the declaration of war in August 1914 and sent to capture German New Guinea. The force included 1,000 Australian infantry and 500 Naval Reserve volunteers. David Howell is a Melbourne historian who's been researching that first Australian battle of World War One.
So here we are. We are in the situation that war is being declared. We have Germany in the South Pacific operating. They had a fleet of ships, quite a powerful fleet that controlled all of the German interests in that area. And of course, once war is declared, it's not good for Britain, especially when she has dominions like Australia and New Zealand who have answered the call to war. And here you have this German squadron working its way around the South Pacific.
There are lots and lots of arguments going on today as to whether dear old England should be brought into the fray.
Was there any suggestion that that squadron, that the Germans in New Guinea were a threat to Australia?
Oh, without a doubt. And Germany not only had New Guinea, but other places like German Samoa. So twofold, I guess. One, stopping trade, but also stopping movement and that line of communication between Britain and her dominions.
No, 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 no. Australia will be there. Australia will be there.
The capital of German New Guinea was Rabaul on the island of New Britain. The 1,500-strong Australian force, when it arrived in the harbour, was worried about being caught by the German fleet, and with it for protection were a number of Australian battleships and the Australian submarine, the AE-1. On September 11, 1914, the Australians went ashore at the village of Capacal to destroy the German telegraph station. David Howell.
So on September 11th, the morning when the Australians landed, they were greeted by, there's a Chinese fellow pointed up the Bitter Paka Road, and that's where the Australians learnt that that's where the wireless station would be. So they set off with their small force.
How many in that force?
In their first force, there was only 50. They were sailors. They weren't soldiers. They had one soldier with them, a medical doctor. He was a captain, Captain Brian Pockley. So a very small force, and what they would end up coming up against is around 200 enemy that were not made up just of Germans, but also of native police.
So the Australians were marching up the road and the Germans had pulled back and were waiting for them.
Yes, so the Germans had obviously knew that the Australians would come. Their defences primarily surrounded three trenches, which were staggered along this road. And if you can imagine, the road is just a dirt road, but left and right of the road you have really thick jungle.
The accounts of what happened next vary, but as the Australians marched up the track, they approached German trenches.
You could just imagine setting the scene where you can hear the mosquitoes and you can feel the sweat beating on the back of your neck and you're walking up through the jungle and all of a sudden shots rang out and we have the very first Australian casualty on an Australian operation, and that was a young sailor from Northcott in Victoria by the name of William Williams, or Billy Williams as he liked to be known, and he was shot and fell to the ground.
Williams became the first casualty of that first Australian action of the First World War. He was taken back to the ship and died that afternoon. The medical officer who treated him, Captain Brian Pockley, had given his Red Cross armband to the stretcher bearers. And a short time later, Pockley was also severely wounded and taken back to the ship, where another group of sailors was being marshalled to reinforce the Australians back up the track.
You know, another group of sailors grabbed as many as weapons that they could. It was almost, again, comical. You talk about in the history of the chef, you know, the cook on the boat wearing his stained trousers from the food that he was serving up, picking up whatever they could find, a cutlass, a rifle, a revolver, even one chap apparently picking up a lump of wood from the pier, and they're all dressed in all different states of uniform. And amongst them was a chap named John Courtney, able seaman John Courtney. His real name was John Walker. He'd used his godmother's surname to enlist in the Navy.
Courtney and the other sailors moved up the track and tried to outflank the Germans.
He gets within sight of the German trench and shots rain out, and poor John Courtney cops it in the base of the skull and in the chest, and he falls to the ground and he is killed outright. And he is Australia's first combatant of the Great War on an Australian operation to be killed in action.
All up, six Australians were killed in the Battle of Bitterpacker that day. Able seamen John Courtney, Billy Williams, Harry Street and Robert Moffat, as well as Navy Lieutenant Commander Charles Elwell and Army Captain Brian Pockley. Days later, the Australian submarine AE-1 was lost with 36 hands somewhere off the coast near Rabaul. Officially, one German soldier was killed and 30 native police who were fighting with the Germans. But this is part of history that still needs more research. We heard earlier a tape recording made by a local plantation owner, Ian Purvis, of an eyewitness to that battle. His wife Irene Purvis discovered the tape recently after Ian died and she was sorting through some boxes.
He knew a lot about the history of the place and was interested in all these things and was keen to make some record of it. He recorded this, I don't know what kind of a tape recorder it was, but he did this in the village of Cabocal.
And that's where the Australians came ashore?
That's the actual spot they came ashore. And the man he spoke to, he referred to as Old Bob. And, of course, he was pretty old then. But and I'm not sure of his age, but as a young boy, he'd witnessed everything that went on.
And Bob, me fella, how much to mass along you along, you talk so along me along, this fella, time along, good time me along, time along, Germany me stop.
The recording Ian Purvis made is a significant piece of Australian history. It describes the battle from the point of view of the locals. Old Bob, an elder of the village of Cabocal, describes Ritter and another white man, a police officer, as well as a number of native police who are lined up and executed by the Australians.
They tricked the German police boys. They said, there's no more war, and asked them to come forward. The English stood on one side, and they stood on the opposite side. And the two white men that I spoke about before, a police officer and Mr. Retta.
Now, let me kiss this fellow Englishman, Master Reza. Now, another fellow.
Police master.
Police master. Emi kissing Mr. Pala. Now, stand him up him along one pala line here. Now, Germany, yet he suit him, ma'am.
No, but English.
Shooting is two pala Australia.
Two pala master.
Ah, there's two pala. Master Raisa now, another pala.
The bodies fill the hole. The two white men lay there with them. Later, they took the white men's bodies to Rabaul, but the police boys remained there.
Historian David Howell says Sergeant Ritter was shot after surrendering, but then trying to resume the fight and shooting some Australians. But the records don't show a white police officer being killed.
I wasn't aware of a second white man being killed, but that's not to say that it didn't happen. There is still plenty of research to be done on this subject.
And as well, man,
finish. That's Bob from the village in New Guinea, who claims to have witnessed Australia's first battle of World War I, the Battle of Bitapaka. And before him, historian David Howell, speaking with our reporter Ian Townsend. If you'd like to read more about this story, about this battle, there's a special feature on the RN website, abc.net.au/RN.